Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. Nice outing for Chris Paddock last night for the Twins, Jim. That's what they kind of envisioned when they got him, but was it as much Paddock as really not a great lineup for the Chicago White Sox, kind of a combination of the two?
Probably a combination. The White Sox are terrible. Yeah. There's no way around it. You still have to pitch well to end up with a zero on the board.
Yep.
I thought, you know, I like Paddock's pitches. I like his work ethic. I like the way he goes about things. He just hasn't been particularly sharp. He hasn't been efficient with his pitches. So, you know, the opponent's terrible. Maybe an outing like that helps him settle in and get him to pitch to his potential. I don't think he's a star pitcher, but I think he's a good middle of the rotation pitcher. And if he does that, then you have four of those guys, and then you're four starters you like, and then you can fill in at number five. So I think he's a really important player, and maybe that just helps him get going.
They did send Louis Varland back to St. Paul. It'll be interesting to see if they convert him back to a reliever right away or if they keep him in the rotation down there. What do you think will happen?
I'm not sure. I hope they make him a reliever.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that you can find other people. Maybe it's Simeon Woods Richardson, who they called up. Maybe it's David Festa. Maybe it's a trade. I just don't think Varland is a starting pitcher, period.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he can be a great reliever. And he can win more games for you as a great reliever than he can. And what he needs to realize is he can make a lot more money as a good reliever than as a bad starter.
That's
so,
right.
Seriously. In fact, I had a funny conversation. You know, I do a podcast with Lavelle and Roy. And I was talking to Lavelle yesterday at the Wolves practice. He said, yeah, I ran into Louis Varland's father yesterday. And he said, you guys are right. He should be a reliever. Why don't know what he's doing?
That's what his own dad says. Yeah, that sounds like a good
Yeah. Louis got it in his head someplace that you have to be a starter to make money. It's just not true.
Yeah.
All he needs to do is look at Eddie Gordado. Look at all the best Twins relievers through the years were failed starters.
Mm.
Gordado, Hawkins, Aguilera, Nathan, Duran was kind of always pegged to be a reliever, but it's much better. I mean, LaTroy Hawkins pitched for 22 years or something by being just a good reliever.
You
can make a lot of money in the big leagues being a reliever.
Yeah, his stuff played up so much better last year out of the bullpen, no doubt about it. Did you see Aaron Boone get ejected for something a fan behind him said last night?
Yes. Yeah, he got thrown out and he did absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It was just a stupid mistake. And, umpires just—they have a really hard job.
Yeah.
They should limit the verbal abuse they take, but you got to be sure on that one.
Yeah.
You know, you can't throw a big league manager out in the first inning because you heard a fan yell something.
Yeah, and then when Boone said that wasn't even me, and Hunter Wendelstad, I guess, was the umpire, said I don't care. So you know, it is a situation, and then it really got heated. I saw some of the audio and so forth, and you know, as sports fans, we become pretty good lip readers because we get a lot of that, and so
no
they
doubt.
They went after it. Has the relationship gotten better with managers and umpires with some of the challenges, or do you think it's not gotten better? Where are we at with that?
Oh, I think in general it has gotten better because you have you're not arguing every single call, and you know what used to happen is managers either used it as a chance to vent because it's a frustrating job, high stress job, or as a chance to fire up their team, or as a ploy to get a benefit of the call on the next call. You know you're not going to get the call overturned. You know, so now. They know that they can go to the challenge. They know that they get to look at the replay. Sometimes they look at the replay and they realize the umpire was right, so that helps.
Yeah.
I think it's helped a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're talking about people. When you're talking about managers and umpires, you're talking about people who are constantly on the road, constantly under scrutiny, high-stress jobs, tons of travel. Umpires have no home games. They're always on the road. They have two teams and a fan base yelling at them. It's a hard job and it just wears on them, and sometimes they pop.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, tough news for the Gopher men's basketball program again with Eli Hawkins changing his mind. I thought it was just like last week he had said he was not entering the portal, that he was going to stay with the Gophers, and then yesterday he enters the transfer portal.
Yep. Somebody made him a deal.
Yeah.
I think players should have the right to go wherever they want and play. It is no fun to watch, though. Yeah. You see, you know, Ben Johnson's just doing everything he can to put together a program, and players just get a better offer and leave. Yeah. I don't know if there's a solution to it, but it's not a fun way to watch this sport play out.
No. Is it tampering? I mean, do they have those rules? So he's not going to go, and then he goes a week later. Somebody had to contact him and say, hey, we've got an NIL deal for you here if you enter the portal.
Yeah, it's not tampering. It's just the way the system's set up. You can just make a better offer.
So the guys are on somebody else's college basketball roster and somebody else is allowed. It's probably the NIL collectives, I suppose. And aren't they kind of third party?
Yeah. I mean, they can just, it's not hard to get, especially with social media, it's not hard to get a hold of a college athlete. Wow. They all have networks. You just say, hey, we got $100,000 sitting here for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So too bad. Well, boy, I don't know how you replace the guy who's second in the nation in assists either, but that's the task in front of him now. Hopefully no one else leaves. I don't know how long the transfer portal is open for this spring window, but I want it to close soon.
I think it's early May, maybe May 1st. So, I think it's closing in on us here. I will say that the guy from Cherry, Minnesota, he could end up being your point guard. I'm not going to say they aren't going to miss Elijah Hawkins.
Yeah.
He's a very good player, and he was fun to watch. But, you know, if they can hold on to what they have now and the kid from Cherry comes in and can play right away, that could be pretty exciting.
Yeah, cool. All right, so we'll look forward to that. Timberwolves and Suns, game two tonight. Wolves dominated, played great on Saturday. That doesn't mean it'll happen again tonight, but certainly their confidence has to be high against the Suns at this point.
It was, and I think their confidence is high going in.
Yep.
Sometimes in sports and media realms, we talk about all we can talk about, right? Mm-hmm. All we really had to talk about was the three regular season games. Doesn't mean they were going to be definitive or decisive or that they were going to matter at all once the playoff season series started. And we saw complete reversal. Suns didn't blow the Wolves out in the first. Anthony Edwards played much better. The Wolves bench, gave them a distinct advantage. Home court made a big difference, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Finch out-coached Vogel. Doesn't mean Finch is automatically a superior coach to Vogel. Vogel's a very good coach, but I thought the buttons Finch pushed really worked, and obviously Vogel couldn't find something. Now, it'll be a completely different game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the Wolves win by 25 points, it'll probably be for three different reasons than what we saw yesterday. It'll be a completely different game. But I still like their chances. I just think they're the better team.
Yeah, it sure looked like it on Saturday, no doubt. I wonder if it didn't. I mean, Edwards is a fantastic competitor. I mean, he really gets after it. But I thought he was kind of taking a lot of slings and arrows for them going 0-3 against the Suns. It looked to me like he had a little chip on the shoulder, a little bigger than he normally does.
Yeah, I think it was more. I think I told you the other day, I thought the most interesting part of the post game was Edwards, somebody saying, hey, you're well-rested in this game. He said, no, I wasn't well-rested. The coaches pushed me like crazy. They got me in better shape than I was in before, and I had my legs under me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a combination. I think Edwards wasn't always at his best in the regular season. I think he was willing to play through some injuries, so he wasn't always his best when he happened to play the Suns.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big stage, playing against Durant, playing at home, I just think, he played really well against the Nuggets last year.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets are the best team in the world.
Yeah.
So I think it's more that he wants to be a great player, and this is his stage.
Did you see that terrific stat ESPN had on Edwards in his postseason action? Four straight games with 30-plus points, 5 and 5 rebounds and assists, and it's only happened six times, four straight home game playoff games. The only one more was Michael Jordan at 5. Jordan had a 4-game streak. And then the two others were Kareem and Jerry West. So pretty elite company for Edwards.
Those are pretty good names.
Yeah.
And that's the cool thing about Edwards. You have maximum effort. You have he can do everything on a basketball court you want a player to be able to do. He loves the big moment. He does look like he's made for this. Not all good players are made for bigger stages. He seems like he's made for this.
Yeah. Nuggets and Lakers was just a fantastic game last night. I thought the Lakers played as well as they could, and they had D'Lo hitting three-pointers. Anthony Davis was terrific, and yet they can't beat the Nuggets, in large part Jokic and Murray and others too. Porter hit some big shots, but I thought they played as well as they could. They still couldn't beat the Nuggets.
Yeah, I thought it was a perfect first half for the Lakers.
Yep.
LeBron was spectacular. Anthony Davis is absolutely dominant. D'Lo was hitting shots, which he doesn't always do in the postseason. But, you know, the Nuggets just, God, they're so good. Yep. And they play so well situationally. Jokic makes every play he's got to make. Murray's clutch. It's just a better team top to bottom. And, you know, the Lakers really need both Russell and Reeves to play well,
yep,
along with their two stars to give them depth and versatility to beat a good team. And last night, D'Lo played well. Reeves didn't really play that well.
Jim, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Live at 5 Sports at Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort.